From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Tens of thousands of Atlantic salmon escaped a Canadian fish farm that caught fire last Friday north of Vancouver Island. The owner, Mowi Canada West, released a statement confirming there were 21,000 non-native salmon in the pens at the time of the blaze. The company apologized and said it was working with regulators, local tribes, as it investigates the incident. Watershed Watch's science advisor Stan Probosch says this latest escape on Robertson Island highlights the risks of raising salmon in sea-based pens.
Farm fish can harbor parasites and viruses that can be spread to wild fish, so that's one of the big risks that we see with an escape like this.
The Vancouver-based environmental group advocates moving BC's fish farms onto land. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party pledged during a recent federal election to make that happen by 2025.
So we're hoping that given the frequency of these escapes, that kind of be fast-tracked as soon as possible to give our wild fish a fighting chance.
Finfish aquaculture is outlawed in Alaska. In 2017, hundreds of thousands of Atlantic salmon escaped from a fish farm in Puget Sound. The following year, Washington State passed a law ordering that state's salmon farms shut down by 2022. As more Alaskans seek treatment for opioid use disorder, the state is taking measures to ensure enough medical providers are there to help. On Friday, the Department of Health and Social Services released a new guide for offering medication-assisted treatment to patients. Reporter Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
In 2016, a change in federal law made it possible for a wider array of medical providers to offer medication to people with opioid addiction. Known as medication-assisted treatment, it's an extremely effective way to stabilize patients on the spot with medicine like Suboxone. Catherine Chapman with the state's Division of Behavioral Health says about 400 medical providers in Alaska are able to provide that service. However,
we estimate that about half of them are actually treating the population and prescribing for them.
Chapman says the reason more providers aren't offering medication-assisted treatment is varied, but it may be the same barrier that some patients experience when they try to get help, not knowing what resources are available.
That's part of the challenge is that to provide opioid treatment, you need a multidisciplinary team, really, to support the treatment and recovery.
So the Department of Health and Social Services spent 2 years creating a medication-assisted treatment guide for providers. Modeled off one used in New Hampshire, it details best practices for treating opioid use disorder and helps providers connect patients with behavioral health services around the state. Chapman says assisting people in their recovery should include a broad package of care.
Not just their medicine is provided to them, but that they're safe, that they have a safe home, that they have food to eat, that their families have support, too.
The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services hopes to update the guide as new information becomes available. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
A few months ago, Juneau Public Libraries got new bathroom signs that are in English and Thlinkit. It's a small thing, but when the city and borough of Juneau posted about it last week on social media, it was widely liked and shared. It's one more nod to Indigenous people and culture in Juneau in a string of similar public gestures, big and small. I filed this story about the signs. Library Director Robert Barr says the story behind the bathroom signs is short. Someone on his staff recommended it.
It sounded like a good idea to me, so I told her to go ahead and make it happen, and it did.
Carla Kasalukin found out about them last week on Facebook. To paraphrase from her online reaction, she loves the new signs, raised fist emoji, and Atlein Gunalchish, which means thank you very much. So why are bathroom signs an object of love and fist pumps?
Well, I was very happy to see it and very pleased with how far I think just our locality, our city and our school system and even private businesses in general in the local area have started to embrace being more diverse and representative of the local Indigenous culture. It's not something that I grew up seeing a lot of here.
Kasalukin, whose Thlinkit name is Kathun, was born and raised in Juneau. She's a Gen Xer with family roots in Huna. She remembers growing up with Zantikahini Middle School as the only school with a Thlinkit name in town and getting made fun of for her culture.
We were, I think, kind of relegated to a week long of Indian Studies Week that was incorporated into the mainstream curriculum.
She says her kids and grandkids are growing up in Juneau in a different environment.
It's nice to see that there's something that school-aged kids now can look at and feel a little bit of a sense of belonging and some, you know, a little bit of pride in that their people are being acknowledged and recognized.
She says the small gestures and big ones, like renaming Juneau Douglas High School as Juneau Douglas High School Yada At Kahle earlier this year, are beacons of pride. There have been a lot of other notable nods around Juneau in the last 2 years, including renaming two schools and two downtown areas. And new this season, the city's ice rink has a form-lined center line that Shimshan artists Abel Ryan designed with students at a local youth center. Every year, Anvil Mountain Correctional Center in Nome holds a community potlatch around Christmas time. Inmates at the facility can invite friends and community members for food, fellowship, and music. KNOM's Emily Hofstetter sat down for the Christmas meal at AMCC last week and reports on the sense of hope and healing it brings to attendees.
There's turkey, ham, green beans, potatoes, coleslaw, and an entire table of various Christmas cookies, all served by AMCC residents who are eager to pile heaps of food onto everyone's plate. After everyone eats, the St. Lawrence Island dancers have an invitational dance on the program to get people moving and digesting. The atmosphere is festive in the gym of the correctional facility. The food is served and cooked by the inmates who work in the kitchen, and others do the holiday decorations, like the Christmas willow. Nome Mayor Richard Benville continued his annual tradition by giving a speech at the event. This year, he added a musical surprise.
Yes, that's roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Christmas is a time for family, being together, and taking care of each other, as Mayor Richard Benville reminded the group gathered in the gym.
I just saw something really emotional. A young lady sitting on her father's lap, wiping away the tears of his eyes.
There were a few tearful faces in the crowd. Some cry because they're happy to be with their loved ones. Others cried because they couldn't. Jacob Bloodgood of Nome is currently incarcerated at the facility and tries to remain merry, even though his 18-month-old son couldn't make the event. He acknowledges that for many people across the community, this is a hard time of year.
I just want to remind everybody to be there for each other, for the people who may not have a place to go get a meal, for the people that can supply an extra plate, you know, find it in your heart to bring someone else in that may, you know, not be able to feed themselves.
Bloodgood isn't proud that this is his second Christmas potlatch inside of the facility, but he says the event and others are important for the inmates. It helps them feel like they aren't forgotten.
Kind of makes everybody feel a little, I guess, more special. For a lot of the people here, because they're so far away from their family, they don't have family. So getting to see other people that are not incarcerated, you know, it kind of reminds them of home.
A few of the inmates shared they hope to attend the Christmas potlatch as visitors someday. Some of the visitors who came and performed for the inmates remembered similar situations in their life, like Evelyn E.J. Roshan. She was never incarcerated, but she says she was kept at treatment facilities as a youth and remembered longing for her family during that period of separation.
No matter what somebody goes through, no matter what somebody does, they're still human.
And though not a traditional Christmas tune, Roshan played her ukulele for one of the more popular performances. In true country music style, Roshan's mother, Francine Johnson, accompanied her by playing the spoons. Music has always been healing for their family, Johnson explains, and she's grateful that they get to share it with the attendees at the potlatch.
Gathering together, eating together, it's part of our tradition, part of our culture, and I'm glad and I'm happy for this opportunity that Anvil Mountain has this happen every year, and I really appreciate it because I believe it's a part of healing for everybody.
Reporting from Anvil Mountain Correctional Center, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
The National Weather Service has issued a high wind watch that's in effect from Christmas afternoon through Christmas evening. Southeast winds are forecast from 35 to 45 miles per hour with gusts up to 60. And finally, the Juneau area forecast from the National Weather Service. Tonight, widespread rain showers, lows in the mid-30s. Christmas Day, widespread snow showers and rain, no snow accumulation. And Thursday, rain and snow, highs around 40. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, December 24th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas. We're off tomorrow, but we'll be back on Thursday.